Shall we pray? Father, we do want to pray that our hearts would really truly be open to you. And as I've mentioned already, that you would encourage us. We thank you that you are a gracious, almighty God. Lord, as we just look around and we see the amazing beauty that you bestow upon us, you know, we can never cease to be amazed. Lord, it says in Romans that, you know, men and women, people, are without excuse. We've only got to look at the way in which, you know, the seasons, people, the way in which they operate. A newborn baby. And we can't fail to recognize, Lord, that you are a mighty God. The amazing colors that we see this time of year, you know, especially when you get a bit of sunshine like we have over the last few days, to see the roses that have come out in their full bloom, and, you know, the poppies that are springing up in green fields, just adding that blaze of color and brightening up. Lord, what an incredible craftsman you are, Lord. And we just want to give thanks. We pray, Lord, that we would be encouraged by this, by you, Lord, the almighty creator God, who's interested in us. That's the amazing thing, Lord, is that you, Lord, are interested in us. What is man that you are mindful of him, the psalmist wrote. And it's small wonder that he wrote such a thing. Lord, as we just look at the works of your hands, the amazing vastness of the oceans and all the animals and the fish in the sea, it just blows our mind. And yet, Lord, you know, you are mindful of us. Lord, help us to be encouraged by your word. Lord, help us to be encouraged to know that you are with us, Lord. And so we give you our lives. We pray, Lord, that we would have understanding of your word. And Lord, that we would be able to live out our lives in the best way possible in service and reverence to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we just read from Colossians, and just to say that, you know, that I'm sure you know all this if you've been coming for the last, obviously we just had Colossians 3:18 to 4:18. We'll go on to the next one there, if that's okay, for a mo. So this was, and I'm sure, I'm not going to dwell on this, because if you've had 4 weeks of this, you know it probably better than I do, actually. So written by Paul about AD 60, confronting a heresy. Does anybody know what the heresy is, by the way? Because you've probably been doing this for a few weeks. All sorts of stuff, wasn't there? There was a number of things that Paul addresses, you know, and there's some particular well-known verses. And one of the most, well, one of my favorite ones, certainly as a young Christian, was this one here. I did struggle with it at first. I couldn't quite grasp, you know, is Jesus really God? But, you know, Colossians 1, 15 to 20. I'm getting muddled up with Corinthians and stuff. Colossians 1, 15 to 20, the supremacy of Christ, you know, promoting that, you know, he is the invisible God, you know, the creator, you know, pretty much, you know, just, wow, it is just an amazing verse. I love Colossians for many reasons. And when I first was given this, probably back in end of May, we were just discussing whether, you know, about husbands and wives. And I thought, obviously, Joe has been talking to her husband about what version to give me anyway. But I thought, I'm not even going to touch that, you know, husbands and wives and other bits and pieces. I do have quite strong views on that. And probably along the lines of, you know, anybody that's oppressed for whatever reason, think again. You know, if it doesn't look like God, it probably isn't Jesus. Why should we oppress? You know, why should a 50%, by the way, that's what it is, 50% of our population, of the world's population, are women. Why should they be downtrodden? Anyway. I said I wouldn't get down that route, but I could have focused on that, and I could have focused on one of my absolute life verses, which is making the most of every opportunity. You know, sometimes I can take it to the nth degree. And so, in other words, if I don't make the most of that opportunity, whatever it might be, whether it's going for a swim or a cycle, it can really, oh, I've missed an opportunity. But I started to work on a different tack in terms of, instead of if I miss that opportunity, relax, because God is about to provide another found opportunity. And that's the wonderful thing about God. You know, God is full of surprises. And, you know, it's still something I'm learning. I've had this last week off come a bit of a shock to actually to get myself organized today, really, and not very well at that. But, in that sense of just, you know, I planned, you know, like to go for a cycle, big long cycle on Monday, did that, a big long cycle on Thursday. To be honest, I just sat in the garden. It was nice. And then I was going to go for a swim on Friday evening in the lake. And I was just, but in the end, I just went for a cycle, you know, and then went yesterday morning. But, you know, just have that sense of, you know, the opportunities. But as I was reading through these verses, as I sat there on Thursday morning, this verse is the one that really struck a chord with me. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. So, I don't know, it just struck a chord with me. You know, and I always think it's a good thing. It's always good to read the scriptures without concordance to start with. Just read it and just see what, you know, God might say through that. And this is the verse that just really jumped out at me. See to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. Little is known of Archippus, but it is also he's also described as a fellow soldier in Paul's letter to Philemon. And it's probably written around about the same time, the letter. So He might have just been having a blip. He might be having a, you know, just a bad time or anything like that. Or he might have actually gone through quite a bit of a dip and really struggling. However, we can surmise from what Paul writes that Archippus had been called and equipped by God for a certain ministry and he was neglecting to fulfill it. So tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. You know, that's, come on, folks, come on. It's, for me, you know, it's a bit like he's received the call of God, and it's quite apparent that he's not doing what God had called him, and Paul's exhortation might be paraphrased as, come on, Archippus, get on with it. You know, what are you doing? Come on. You know, just, or as I would like to call it, get up. I don't know if you ever hear. I mean, I'm not saying it is the voice of God or anything speaking to me or anything like that, but when I'm down, when I'm really down, and I do have my down days and quite a few, and you can just hear that little voice. I almost hear a little voice inside my head saying, get up, Henry. Come on, get up. Get up. Get up. And I feel that's an encouragement to me, you know, that it's all right. You fell over, but get up. Come on, get up, dust yourself down. Jim Gallagher from Calvary Chapel, Vero Beach writes, I think his story is an all too common one. I believe many of us have sensed the call of God in our lives or on our lives as it relates to serving the Lord in our homes, churches, and community, only to be discouraged by our own weaknesses or by the greatness of the task. See to it that you complete the work that you have received in the Lord. Why did Paul write that? You know, and I suppose really all I've got as I sat just thinking about this was, what is it? And I just thought, was it discouragement? Was he discouraged about the work? Was there discouragement? Was he overwhelmed by the task, because we don't know what the task was that he was called to do. Maybe he'd been on the go for so long, he just was weary. He just had enough. Just needed some time out, really, and maybe his time had gone on a bit long. You know, it would stretch on a bit, and yeah, because sometimes God calls us aside. You see it in the Psalms, you know, Psalm 23, again, one of my favorite Psalms. Well, I suppose it's many people's favorite Psalms, but, you know, leads us by the still waters. I love water. I mean, if I want refreshing from the Lord, I only got to go and sit by water. Always make my way to water, to go and look at water, just to go and just see water. It's something about it, and whether I'm in it or on it or whatever, really, it's just wonderful to see. And I really resonate with that psalm that, you know, just calls us aside. But maybe he'd stayed on too long, a bit like King David, who'd, you know, maybe he was battle weary. You know, he'd been there, he'd been fighting, he'd done lots of mighty acts and everything else like that. And so just at the time when kings go off to war, David decided he would stay at home. And of course, he got into trouble with Bathsheba. But that's a different story. We won't go there. But what I'm saying is that he may have been just completely wearied by the task. And just couldn't get back on. Just couldn't get back up. I don't know about you, but I suppose you might know where I'm going with this. I can often feel so much like Archippus. You know, just having a week off, I think I needed a week. I really felt I needed some time off, really. I started to catch up on a few bits on Monday on work. I couldn't even write a letter. I thought, do you know what? I think I'm going to leave it. I'm just going to park it. And let's just leave it. I had a day in Clare Priory, and I'd recommend anybody do that, really. You just to spend a quiet day. I joined them for Mass at 10 o'clock. And I felt God say to me, write down a timeline of your Christian life. And I wrote it down as I remembered it. And then I went and had lunch with the monks. And I sat there and I said, oh, it was almost like, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. And I went back and I sat down in the little room that they'd provided for me. And I started to pray and I thought, Henry, whatever's the matter with you? Get up. Get up. Stop looking down at the bad situations. What's the matter with you? Come on, what's good? And then started to write down things that were good. But sometimes, I don't know about you, but, well, maybe for some of you, you're lucky to be there. Retirement looks very attractive. You know, having a granddaughter, wow, it's changed life. You know, suddenly things become, what is it with a child? You know, a grandchild. And when it's your child, there's pressure. There's a different kind of pressure with grandchildren because you make sure they get back safely when they try to escape out of the car seat and things like that. But anyway, another story. But, you know, in that sense, you know, I could have the most horrendous days at times and feel really, really fed up. And I come back and I can just see the little girl smile and you just think, yeah, makes it all worthwhile. That's what matters. I speak to my daughter who's in Romania. On a Wednesday, and, you know, just as she said, how's work? It was a situation that was just been going on. And I said, oh, and I've got Emma, by the way, I've got Emma on the Wednesday, so we were digging holes in the garden. And I said, to be honest, I'd just forgotten about work for 5 minutes then. You know, in that sense, but, well, I hadn't, not just for 5 minutes, I'd completely forgotten. I was engrossed in digging these holes in the garden. What is it? You know, and I sometimes think, that looks incredibly attractive. I could go back to being a photographer sometimes. You know, I still love taking photographs. I really, really enjoy taking photographs. But these days, I like to create a photograph. I like to, if you like, try and tell a story through one picture. That is my aim, if you like. Whereas before, I used to like to do, but or maybe put a collage together which will really tell a story and tell something. And that's what I spend a lot of my time doing. I love taking pictures. And I almost sort of want to create something that, you know, that the grandchildren will be able to see, oh, yeah, this is what's happening when, you know, grandma and granddad or whatever. When it would just be clear. But it wouldn't work, going back to photography. I've even thought, by the way, many occasion, I could sell up and go and live by the sea. Maybe one day. But, you know, I've even had a page open on the website. You know, we went to a place called Cushendon, which is in Northern Ireland, just on the eastern side as you go down. Do you know what? It's a different world in Northern Ireland. You know, the troubles, you just can't think, how could there possibly be troubles? You know, and you just go down by the water's edge, you know, go down by there. And we'd been up, it's not far from Giant's Causeway. Giant's Causeway, the day we were there, the wind and the waves were crashing in. And do you know what? I think it's one of the strongest winds I've stood up in, tried to stand up in. So strong, I had to hold a fence to walk down. And so the waves were crashing against the, you know, and as you come around this corner into Cushendon, there was a little bay. It was absolutely still. And I said to Angela, I said, can I swim in there? So I did. Anyway, but I just thought, I've even looked at houses. You know, we could get a 4-bedroom, a 5-bedroom place there for what we're paying for here in this country. You know, I think if I sell up, we could. But ultimately, what is the call of God on my life? What is the call of God on your lives? Because you know what God is calling you to. And sometimes, you know, if we run from something like Jonah showed in his book in the Bible there, we just move away from where that sense of God's presence. It's almost like we walk away from the center of where God's love can reach us. From experience, the greatest sense of peace is when I'm at the center of God's will. I know somebody who was on fire for God and lost his way a little bit, really. And he's never really been the same since. And at times, he wouldn't listen to me. But at times, I just wish that he would just get back to God, because that's where he'll find the greatest blessing. It's where the blessing is. And it's exciting to see what God's going to do next. You know, I could tell you loads of good stories about how God has really, you know, and it's just provided for us miraculously. You know, the end of September last year, and I won't go there, you know, now as such, but it was just the most amazing time, and it went on for several months, you know, of just, wow, the way God's turning up. And then I looked down for a moment. We suddenly start to look down, and you think, oh dear, it suddenly seems quite high where we're at. And I'm not saying that we've become elevated or anything like that, but suddenly, a bit like walking on the water sometimes, not sometimes, I've never done it actually, by the way, but when Peter speaks of, or in Matthew's gospel, he looks down and he sinks, of course. And I start thinking things like, how are we going to pay for this? Or a bit of discouragement comes in, and I get really, really, how are we going to do this? And then the next big task, and this is what God showed me, for me personally, on Tuesday. I sometimes worry about, you know, so in other words, I've done it. You know, we've done a big task and God has provided miraculously. And then he says, go and do it again. And I think, I don't want to do it again. It was really hard that time. And I had really had to trust you for the finances. And I really had to trust you. And it's been a real struggle. And I don't really know what's actually going to happen. But then God says, I just want you to trust me. It's a bit like contentment with what I've already done. Hard work, and I don't want to go there again. I'm going to read from 1 Kings 19, 1 to 10. A bit like a pantomime, if Kathy suddenly does decide that she's going to put it on the screen. I'm not saying she can even, but just shout behind you, okay? And then even better, then I don't have to look at glasses on. So, Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Oh, do you know the story where we're up to, don't you? So in other words, there's this big thing on Mount Carmel, and all the prophets of Baal have been slaughtered, anyway, there's a big victory. And yeah, they have. And they've all been put to the sword, or lots of them have been put to the sword. And so Ahab and Jezebel were married. Ahab's a bad king. Jezebel, even worse, off the chart. And so anyway, so news gets back to Ahab and Jezebel of the terrible thing that's happened. Well, the good thing that's happened, however you look at it, really. But for them, it was particularly bad. Now, Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." And he lay down under a tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank them and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too hard, is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me." I always find that emotional to read, because I can so resonate with that, really. You know, it's just that sense of I just find it just amazing, really, that, let's go back to, I'm just going to read just a couple of, or pick up on a couple of verses in particular. Just think for a moment, consider those verses there. Here is a man who has seen mighty, amazing miracles before him. You know, this was a terrible, terrible time to be around in those days. But God had sustained him by a brook and ravens, 1 Kings 17. It was a widow, and then he went on to a widow at Sidon. So he took outside of, you know, the promised land, the kingdom, which was, you know, that was it. And then, of course, there was this huge battle on Mount Carmel. Jezebel's rant in verse 2. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them." Elijah's response. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. Hang on a minute. If the God who had provided for him by ravens and given him a brook and had done all these amazing things, isn't he the same God that can feed him, can look after him and protect him from, you know, the likes of Jezebel? And yet so often we can see the mighty things of God. We can have a past experience. We can have that sense of what God has done in our time, in our lives. And yet we still struggle. God's response from verse 11 onwards takes him aside and shows him, you know, the presence, his presence. See to it that you complete the work that you have received in the Lord. And I felt that this was a message for us, for me, for you today. See to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. And for each one of us, that will be different. And if you get discouraged, well, I just want you to look at this fact for a minute. First of all, can I just go, anybody know who this is? He's a cricketer. Someone, I heard someone muttering away there, someone correctly mentioning it. Shane Warne, indeed. Shane Warne, go on to the next slide. He was an Australian spin bowler. Widely seen as, and I certainly remember, you know, as children were growing up, widely seen as one of the greatest bowlers in the history of cricket. Did you know he scored or took 708 test wickets in his career? Does anybody know what a wicket is? Because I said that to Angela this morning over breakfast, and she said, "What's a wicket?" So just in case you're wondering, oh, is if someone's standing there and they bowl the ball and it hit the stumps or however, or they get caught, that's a wicket. So you're out, in other words, yeah. So he took 700 of them in test careers. So it's quite amazing, and we'll go on to the next one. But to get his 708 wickets, he bowled how many? 40,704 balls. You know, to be able to get, you know, to get those 708. The next one I thought was quite amazing, really, and I often say that to people. Hang on a minute. He missed 39,996. You know, that is less than 2% success rate. And so if you're feeling discouraged sometimes, if you're ever feeling discouraged, consider Shane Warne, who's considered as being one of the greatest bowlers, you know, in the history of the game, who actually had only a 2% success rate. Okay, because, you know, it is so often we can, you know, just get so discouraged and we miss, you know, discouragement, weariness, a sense of the job is too hard. But see to it that you complete the work that you have received in the Lord. A couple of weeks ago, I heard this scripture. Not for the first time, but I find it, I don't know why, but sometimes God just gets a message to you when you need it. And I was at an event in Cambridge just recently, and I knew God was going to speak to me somewhere. And the man finished with these three verses. I don't know if they're on the screen, but it doesn't matter. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so you'll not grow weary and lose heart." Maybe this was where he was. Maybe he was wearied. Maybe he had lost heart. And the good thing is that our God loves to come alongside us and pick us up. Some of you may well have seen this clip before. I've certainly shown it here. It's a slight take on it. There's a few words in there, so I hope you can read the words on this next little movie clip. Hopefully, I'll let it speak for themselves, and then we'll pray just at the end. Our God's like that, isn't he? Our Father comes alongside us, pick us up when we're falling down, and carry us to the finish line. See to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. Before we sing, let's just pray. Father, we do want to ask that you will help us to fulfill the purposes and plans that you have for our lives. If there are bits in our lives like Archippus where we've kind of let go of something, we had a dream some time ago which, you know, we just can't perceive it and, you know, carry on with it at the moment because it all just seems too hard, and I got discouraged years ago, and it's never going to happen. And yet, Lord, you are the God who comes alongside us and picks us back up and will walk alongside and ensure that we get to the finish line. Help us, Lord, to be a people, that are faithful to the call that you have placed on our lives, so that you can say at the end, when we get to that finish line, as you walk us across or meet us across that finish line, well done and good and faithful servant. With you, I am well pleased. Amen.